Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with pickandroll.com.au and Zoom TV. I'm your host, Luke Sicari, this week, filling in for Chris Tyler for a couple of weeks while Chris ventures off into the United States of America. Joining me, as always, on the other line is Damian Arsenis. Damian, how's it going?
It's great. And, you know, as we head into Christmas, there's been a lot of news around the world in regards to Australians playing hoops. And I think what's worth calling out right now is Paddy Mills sunk a game winner.
He did. It was against they actually snapped the Rockets' undefeated month of December. So it was a big win. Big comeback win for the Spurs as well. Paddy Mills continuing his career year. He's in the conversation for Sixth Man of the Year. Free agent at the end of the year. So I reckon a nice little payday for Paddy Mills is in store. But he's not the Aussie everyone's talking about this week, Damer.
No. And look, Paddy Mills is definitely going to do something like a Delly, I think. And that's probably a good segue because Delly ventured back to Cleveland this week.
He did.
And he got his championship ring.
He did. And not only did he get his ring, he got absolutely mobbed by his former Cavalier teammates at courtside. Poor David Griffin there, the general manager, trying to hand Delly his ring. And the Cavs, led by LeBron and Kyrie, mobbed Delly at half court. Poor David Griffin actually dropped a championship ring out of the little display case they had. There was no damage done, thankfully, and Delly did receive his ring in good condition. But it just shows how that bond is still there between the Cavs and Delly, and it shows how much he meant to that team.
Oh, most certainly. And I think the telling thing is we saw a week or so ago Timothy Mozgov
came
back and got his ring. But there was no real excitement from LeBron James. But this time around with Delly, LeBron was the one leading the charge.
He did.
And then, of course, Kyrie gave him a special hug at the end as well.
And J.R. Smith as well, who's out injured for broken thumb. He came afterwards the mob as well to give Delly a little appreciation. As you mentioned, Kyrie stuck around after the initial mob. It just shows that bond. I mean, Coach Tyronn Lue said after they won the championship, he said it's like a blood transfusion, that link between the teammates. You saw it there with Delly, who's the ultimate teammate, really.
Yeah, most certainly. And I think that goes to show the value that Delly brings to the team and the value that he's delivering to the Bucks right now. And, you know, Delly's had his moments with the Bucks. He had, you know, you could argue a slow start to the season. He had some games where, you know, maybe he fell out of favour a little bit, but really his value's really been coming on in leaps and bounds over the recent month or so because he's been the glue that's tied it all together, kept it going, and the Bucks are one of the most exciting teams to watch right now. And part of the reason is because all that athletic talent, they need someone to dish them the ball, and Delly fits that role perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. Milwaukee, a team looking very good at the... I think there's just a game under 500 as we record this, but they came off two pretty impressive games against the Cavs because they played the Cavs twice this week, lost in overtime in Milwaukee, and got blown out in the fourth quarter in Cleveland. But they held their own against the defending champs, and who knows, maybe we might see Delly against his former team in the playoffs very soon. That would be very exciting, wouldn't it? Moving on back home, and there's a lot happening in the NBL. A lot happening in the NBL now. Of course, I do my power rankings each week.
Oh, we look out for your power rankings every week, Luke.
Thank you, Dave. They're very, very fun and very difficult to do this year because how close the league is. Well, speaking about this a bit before we jumped on air, Damo, it's really interesting that some of the big money in the big clubs, they're fading a little bit while the smaller clubs, they're taking up the top of the rankings. I mean, you look this week, I've got Adelaide first, Cairns second, Illawarra third, and then even New Zealand fourth. So look at that top three, and it's probably the three smallest drawing clubs in the league.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, you've seen the, you know, we say big spending teams because of the kind of talent they've been able to draw to their clubs.
Yep.
The big name teams of your Sydney's still up there, but certainly Melbourne and Brisbane and Perth in particular, they've been hit by the injury bug. Injuries to key players. You know, one of the most recent of those is Cameron Bairstow, who's done his knee.
Unfortunate there. It's been a tough run for Cam since the Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. He did his shoulder at the Olympics. Now he's done his knees, had a terrible run. And, of course, he had the bad luck with the Bulls and the roster issues and then doing his shoulder there as well. So he's had a terrible run. But, you know, these big-name teams right now are looking like they're sort of jostling for the lower four positions rather than the top four. But, of course, with a team with the talent of Sydney at the moment, they've still got most of their key players. So out of that four, I guess, they're probably looking the stronger out of the high-profile teams, but certainly they ruled out Julian Kassou for the rest of the season as well. And, of course, potentially they were able to bring a guy like that back to the talent they already had.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that about Sydney. Like, just quietly, They've lost five of their past seven. They're down to seventh in my rankings this week. Believe it or not, like, it's tough to put them there because I think everyone is still in agreement that they're probably still one of the title favourites, even without Julian Kassou, because he didn't play at all this season. So we can't really say if a team is better with him or not.
No.
But they've lost five of seven. You know, all of a sudden, Andrew Gaze has to push some buttons down in Sydney to get the Kings playing back to a championship level. Of course, Melbourne United have been pretty good since Casper Ware came back, but they came off a tough loss against Brisbane last week. And of course, they've got the big, big open air game on Boxing Day night, which I'll just quickly add, if you couldn't make it to last year against the Wildcats when Melbourne opened the roof at Hisense Arena, try and make it down on Boxing Day. It's an absolute spectacle. It's something special for basketball fans, but hey, they need a win as well.
Great night for basketball too. It's going to be 35, 37 degrees that day. So it's going to be a great night for an open air basketball game.
Yeah, I was checking the forecast yesterday. Of course, the Melbourne forecast is very, very reliable there. It actually said there was a 30% chance of rain. So let's hope for Melbourne United's sake it doesn't rain. So, you know, I think everyone would hate it if the weather had to stop this from happening. But, I mean, they did a few tests. If you go on their Twitter page, they did a test run today, and it just looked absolutely sensational. Looking forward to definitely. That. Hey, Damo, there's some news happening in college with some Aussies.
I know, college basketball.
Not great news either.
Well, it's you know, in many ways, some of the news isn't exactly shocking. For those in the know, William McDowell-White, we'll start with him.
Yep.
He's decided, well, it's been forced upon him. He's not going to be able to attend Fresno State this season.
Yeah.
So it's looking like he's not going to go to college at all. Now, for those in the know, he's not a really much of a studious person, so it was always going to be a tough ride for him to get into college anyway. So that's why he was slated to be a mid-season inclusion after being able to prove his grades. He hasn't been able to do that, so he won't be joining his brother, Darryl, McDowell-White Jr. He won't be over there either, so he won't be able to join his brother.
And it really opens, sorry, Damon, it opens up another can of worms. I mean, we saw Ben Simmons rip the NCAA in his one-and-done documentary last month, and now we're seeing another very talented Aussie not being able to go to college because of academic reasons. It just, there's a lot of Aussies in the middle of an NCAA issue. Are they student athletes? I mean, we could spend all day on this, but to see someone that talented miss out on academic reasons, while I understand it, and I agree with it to an extent, it is a bit disappointing because you want to see how he would have played against some of the best young talent in America.
Definitely. And I guess now for a guy like him, he's going to have to take a Terrence Ferguson type of pathway. Yeah, Terrence Ferguson at Adelaide. He's chose the NBL here in Australia over college. So that's, you know, the next step for William McDowell-White may well be he's a pickup for one of these NBL teams as they go the rest of the season.
Yeah, and our good friend
in Europe, because we're talking an NBA caliber athlete here.
Absolutely.
He's certainly got the talent and the ability to go there. But look, backing on from that, we heard earlier in the month that Harry Froehling, a famous family name who went to SMU, had decided to leave and transfer. Well, now he's been followed by another freshman Aussie at SMU. Tom Wilson is going to follow that pathway and leave SMU as well. So that's another big news item coming out of the States, because he's an exceptional talent. He's represented Australia exceptionally well, and he really wasn't getting any opportunities. Now, whether that comes down to game time or the direction of the team, it's interesting that both of them have chosen to step away.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting times for Australian basketballers in college, of course. But off the back of that, we do have a lot of them that are playing well up there in the States.
Well.
Yeah.
And you know what? This past week, Duop Riest, he's been outstanding for LSU. Two big 20-point game highs in leading LSU to a couple of wins. He's been a leading light. You've got guys like Joe Lualakwil Jr., Jock Landau, Emmett Nahr. These guys have been absolutely sensational over there. But, you know, probably heading over to Europe just quickly before we finish up the show, we've had some massive performances by some of the Aussie women in Europe in particular. We've had Tess Madgen at Lublin over there in Poland. She's had a big 20-point and 6-rebound game. And then Abby Bishop, who's been a star both here in Australia and the WNBL, like Madgen, but also in the WNBA, she had a 15-point, 11-rebound performance in a narrow loss. But then she backed up with 23 points and 13 rebounds in another performance. So she's been in outstanding form. And then you go over to the men's side of things, and Tess Madgen's brother Ben, he's been in outstanding form with Lietkabelis over in Lithuania. But really, Dan Trist and Jonah Bolden, two young guys, have really stood up this past week. Dan Trist had a 21-point and 10-rebound double-double in Denmark. And then Jonah Bolden had a great performance. He had a 13-point and 5-rebound performance in a win in the Adriatic League as well. So there's a lot of Aussies. There's more Aussies doing well over in Europe, but you know, we can't cover everyone every week because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time, but you can find how everyone's going, of course, on the pickandroll.com.au. We have great weekly European and college recaps on the men's and women's, great NBA Aussies in the NBA content and NBL content. Juniors, it's all there. Pickandroll.com.au is the way to go. Damo, mate, have a nice Christmas and New Year's, and we'll catch up in a new year for another exciting year for the Pick and Pop podcast in Australian basketball.
Certainly will. Thanks, Luke, and all the best with you.
You too.